1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Dear Lord, we thank you for gathering us tonight. We thank you for the blessing of sharing in your word. We pray that we will be those who are encouraged to keep encouraging each other, to keep enjoying the blessing of belonging to you and to one another. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit will be reviving us and challenging us in your word and helping us to see who you've made us to be and to live that out as we keep encouraging each other in the journey of faith as we look forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Great. It's good to be here. Just keep your Bibles open in the passage that was read to us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 22. We're going to spend a bit of time over there just hearing how this passage encourages us as members of the same church family, people who meet together, gather together to worship King Jesus. In Kenya, we usually have a sermon going for 1 hour, and so I pray that the Lord will be helping you in case we go for a whole hour or even another one as you listen to me. Great. What sort of church family does God expect us to be? We are always meeting here on every Sunday. Of course, I'm not always here. I meet with other brothers and sisters in Cambridge, but when we gather together, what sort of church, community, family, gathering does the Lord expect us or want us to be? In the context of a time when Christianity continues to face hostility in all the world, and in very particular ways here in the UK, God expects us to keep gathering together. But how exactly, how practically does he want us to live Christian lives among each other? How are we going to be cheer each other and encourage each other to keep going till the end? Back in Kenya, every December, we are always having big family gatherings. And so all our relatives who stay in the cities flock in the rurals, which is sort of their original homes, and we are always having these big family reunions. And we like, you know, sitting together and slaughtering a cow or goats and having these big parties and just sitting together to share how we have been and even come up with sort of what looks to be like New Year resolutions so that as we step into a new year, we feel like we are this big, you know, family, relatives united together, having new resolutions. And majorly, the resolutions are around, let's keep each other encouraged. Let's be reaching out to one another. Let's keep knowing what's happening in the rest of the other person's life, wherever we are. But now the funny thing is that as we keep going with the year, that passion to actually reach out to one another keeps dying and dying until the next party in December. Our passage today, brothers and sisters, Paul is going to show us what's some of his encouragements that he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, and just for us to pick a few things from there and see how that encourages us today as 21st century church. And so Paul is trumpeting the concept of church family. That might sound very familiar to you or even very new to you. Church family, what does that really mean? You see, Christian church is far beyond a big family reunion. Christian church is far beyond a company where people meet and, you know, come up with some good strategies to make the company reach out to very great outputs and then go home and then continue spending their lives differently, not necessarily concerned more about what's happening in other people's life. Christian church and community is even beyond an investment group where we come together, pool resources together, you know, do a big thing together or even get some profits and then we go and spend them the way, you know, pleases us. It's even far beyond a Sunday union club. It's a major thing. A Christian church, brothers and sisters, is a family church. Did you hear that? It's a family church. And Paul has already been speaking to this church in Thessalonica who have been going through persecution and threats because of their faith, people who believed the gospel. He told them in chapter 1 that you received the gospel from us as if from God himself. You turned from following idols so that you may live and follow God. And so here is a church family which Paul wants to encourage, but around the concept of them growing together as a church family. People who are encouraging each other as they look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus, which Paul has been repeating all along. And so Paul wants this church family to be really kept as a family of believers, united around the same gospel, by the same Lord. People are very intentional to reach out to one another, to support and to encourage each other. People are committed to offer their lives to one another. And last week you saw in chapter 5, verse 11, how he concluded that. He told them, therefore, encourage one another and build each other just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another and build each other just as you are doing. In short, Paul is telling them, yes, you believed the gospel. We have had a very good report that you guys are continuing in the gospel. And I am now writing to tell you to keep going the same way. Keep encouraging each other. Keep building each other. But then you wonder, how exactly are they going to be encouraging and building each other's members of the same church family? And so we come to these verses which are before us. Please look with me, verses 12 all the way down to 22. We are going to spend a bit of time there just looking at Paul's vision for a church family, a family that is committed to doing what I would call as one anothering. In the rest of the New Testament, we find 59 times where the word one another is used. And so it's a very New Testament concept for believers who meet and gather together to worship King Jesus. And Paul's vision is going to be very great and comparable to any big party, big reunion, you know, companies and all those other gatherings which we hold together. And so what we find here, brothers and sisters, is not just some random final thoughts, which Paul is like, okay, I'm now tired of writing this letter, so let me just write a few things. And then, you know, as some of the Bible, versions call it final instructions. They are not necessarily just some final instructions. They are at the very heart of what he has been talking about. It's sort of a restatement of the very central truths which he has been talking about. Look with me in chapter 2, verse 7. He told them, instead, we were like young children among you, sort of using a family language. In chapter 2, verse 11, he told them, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. A very family language. Chapter 3, verse 5, he tells them, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have come and tempted some of you from the labors that we put in. Paul is very concerned about these believers. So he writes in this sort of big climax, telling them this, therefore, is how you are to live the day-to-day church family life. Stay committed to one another. So come with me from looking at verses 12 to 13. Committed towards your leaders. That's what's sort of the big thing, one of the big things that we are going to look at, verses 12 to 13. It says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, those who care for you in the Lord, who admonish you, hold them in the highest regard, in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Paul is essentially addressing the led or the congregation, the brothers and sisters in Thessalonica who meet every now and then and who have leaders over them. And in verse 12, he's calling them upon to acknowledge their leaders. Did you see what he says? Those who work hard among you. Paul accepts the fact that they have leaders in the church, and those leaders are working tirelessly to serve the church family, to feed them with God's word, and he calls them, telling them, acknowledge such brothers and sisters. He calls them, telling them, hold them in the highest regard, in love, in verse 13. They care for you in the Lord. They admonish you. Paul is calling brothers and sisters in the church in Thessalonica to just consider the labors of their leaders, how they commit themselves to the ministry work, how they offer their time, how they are tirelessly and sacrificially putting effort to care for them. Paul calls them and tells them, acknowledge such people. Show them respect. Hold them in the highest regard because of their work among you. And it's basically sort of Paul inviting all of us to think about our leaders whom God has given us and the work that they put to just take care of us as members of the same church family. Think about how they pray for us. Think about how they ensure that we are fed with God's word. Think about all their follow-ups in the course of the week. Their continuous concern, their heart for each one of us. Think about their devotion over us to see all of us being discipled, continuing in the gospel. And Paul is telling them that these are not just people with their titles on the church board at the corner. They are people who labor, work hard among you. Acknowledge such people. Paul speaks to the congregation. Consider them, hold them highly in regard and love. So what Paul is putting over here is not actually just some lofty demands to the believers in the church in Thessalonica. When we come to chapter 1, verse 6, Paul himself labored among this church when he went to preach the gospel back in Acts. He tells them in chapter 1, verse 6, sorry for taking you back, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. You welcomed our message and you became our imitators. These believers saw Paul as one of their leaders who brought the gospel to them, and they acknowledged Paul's labor among them, bringing the gospel to them. And they wanted to imitate such leaders. In chapter 1, verse 8, he told them, the Lord's message rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. These believers have continued in the gospel, which their leaders, Paul and his companion, preached to them, and perhaps their leaders have continued to preach to them. And so there is all this language of leaders who have been very concerned for this congregation to keep going even in the midst of hostility. And Paul, thinking about that, tells them, believers in Thessalonica, consider such leaders. Hold them with high regard. Consider their work among you. And so, brothers and sisters, what makes church a church family is a genuine love and care of the congregation to their leaders. And that's a good place to start because we have leaders here. Think about their work. And so, friends, this sort of a great mark of a local church that is valuing one another, a local church where congregation is very excited to encourage their leaders in no ways possible. And this is where Christian ministry is acknowledged as a difficult, daunting, and very draining ministry. And because we know that our leaders are going through the tough time of ensuring that we are continuing in the gospel, we want to come in and support them and encourage them and acknowledge them and hold them in high regard because of their work among us. Think about, you know, how we can actually be of personal support to our leaders here. And think about how we can encourage them with our words, with our feedbacks out of their sermons and out of their weekly labors among us in the Christian ministry. And think about how you can meet them in the course of the week of a coffee and just ask them one big question. How are you doing in this week? How is your week looking like? How can I pray with you? That's a congregant asking their leader how they can pray with them. And I'm sure we are sort of used in the other way around. Paul is inviting us to see it on the other way around. Think about how you can just meet them and tell them one big thing. A book that I've been reading, written by Nancy, who writes to people who are suffering. And she just tells them, I am praying for you. What about if you meet your leader who has been laboring in the course of the week and the only big thing that you tell them is, I am praying for you. I know it's not easy. I am praying for you. So do you actually realize how much we can encourage our leaders? We can serve them. We can stand with them. Brothers and sisters, are you going to be a congregation that will be willing to stand together, to hold each other's hands, to support, to encourage, to work with your leaders in love and care and all sorts of encouragements? But then the next thing that we find in verses 14 to 15 is Paul inviting believers to be committed to fellow Christians. Committed to fellow Christians in verses 14 to 15. Paul says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays wrong for wrong, but always strive to do that which is good for each other and for everyone else. And Paul is calling believers in the church in Thessalonica to be very intentional to one another. Look at the terms that he's using over here. Sort of a very one anothering terms. He wants them to be genuinely growing in seeking out and supporting and knowing and working with each other. Body of believers growing together, seeing themselves as one gospel-shaped church family. To those who are idle, warn them. Perhaps referring to the people who are losing the passion in Thessalonica because of the threats and the hostilities from those who are fighting them. People who are not concerned anymore about Christianity, or perhaps even people who are giving in to the threats and they are now inciting other believers to give up and avoid persecution. And Paul tells them, join together to warn them. Counsel them. Tell them that they are going in the wrong direction. Tell them to come back. And the next thing we see is encourage the disheartened. Think about those who are feeling broken because of persecutions among the church family, says Paul. Those who are continuing to feel the hardness of continuing in faith. Perhaps those who are feeling worn out They are not excited anymore to come for church gatherings and Bible studies and prayer meetings. Paul tells them, encourage them, be there for them. Perhaps thinking about chapter 4, those who have lost their loved ones, and it's been very difficult, and they feel so discouraged and disheartened. Paul tells them, encourage even those who are suffering. Even to them, you can tell them, I am praying for you. And what about to those who are weak, perhaps physically or morally? We are not sure what exactly Paul meant over here, but yeah, think about those who are physically and morally weak among us, those who are struggling, those who are needing a loving hand and help, those who are giving in to the threats of hostility because of their faith in Thessalonica. Paul tells believers, help them. Be there for them. Stand with them. What about to everyone generally? Paul says, be patient with everyone. Think about a church in Thessalonica that is facing hostility and it's difficult. Suffering is still ongoing. And there could be all these sorts of reactions to that. Paul tells believers, be united together and be patient with everyone as you do church life together. And ensure that no one pays wrong with wrong, but everyone to pay wrong for good. Even when you feel wronged, respond with good. Strive to do that, says Paul in verse 15. Make sure you see each other doing that, remaining bound in love till the end, encouraging each other. But then you wonder, how are we going to keep supporting each other if we are not keen with what is happening around us? As you listen to these imperatives which Paul is using, clearly it tells that this is a congregation that is going to be looking out, to be seeking, to be just checking around. What's happening with my brother? What's happening with sister so and so? How can I be of support, of encouragement to them? And so this, I think there's so much beyond the Sunday, very quick hi, and how are you finding the weather? I think it's really beyond that. It's sort of a day-to-day concern for one another, seeking out to know how to encourage, to support one another. We have that responsibility, brothers and sisters. That is a big mark for a gospel-shaped church family. Imagine if amidst all hostilities and difficulties of Christian ministry, we were these people who are supporting and committed to one another. What a church family would you guys be? And Paul is calling them to be extra intentional with each other, to hold each other's hands, to be looking out, to know how and where to stand with each other. To be asking what's happening in your family, knowing how to support one another. And we are to do this because basically we belong both to the Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, but we also belong to one another, members of the same church family, committed to one another, committed in Jesus, depending on each other's ministry. But then the last thing that we see in verses 16 to 22 is Paul calling believers to be committed towards God, committed towards God himself. In chapter 1, verse 9, he told them, you turned from idols so that you would serve the living and true God. And so Paul wants them to keep being encouraged, to keep continuing in that God whom they turned to, even when opposition and persecution and hostility continues to linger around them. And so he's now at this point calling them to encourage each other to be those who are very concerned about God, both talking to God, but also listening to God. There's sort of two-way aspect over here. Verse 16 to 18, those who are talking to God, encouraging each other about the privilege of talking to God. Joyfully, he tells them, rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. sort of basically inviting them to see the privilege that they have to have a joy that is centered on the relationship that they have with God, that they can pray to him always. And I like how he repeats the word sort of always over here. Be joyful always, praying always, and giving thanks in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you. Those sounds like very good things for us to do around the privilege that we have as a church family to keep talking to God, to keep encouraging each other, to be those who are joyful. Even when things are hard, we can come and excite each other and challenge each other and support each other to keep talking to our Father who hears us and understands what we are going through. And we can pray to him. And even when things are difficult, we can still come to him and tell him, Father, thank you that you do everything for your will and for your glory. We know that your love to us is unmovable. Giving thanks to God in everything. That sounds good, but it can be hard. It can be hard to live it out in times of hostility and persecution. But believers, as they stand with each other, they encourage each other and give each other hope as we look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus. And therefore, we can be that church family that is walking with each other, always rejoicing, always showing our dependency to God in prayer, and always offering the gifts of thanksgiving to God. And we are being called to be that warm church to one another, responding this way, even though things can be hard. And sort of verse 17 is sort of a big conclusion. For this is the will of God for you. God's will is that you will continue rejoicing together, praying together, and giving thanks together, to keep depending on God. But then sort of the other aspect of it is those who are connected, committed to one another in encouraging each other to listen to God. Sort of the remaining verses, 19 to 22, listening to God. And centrally, what we find here is the privilege of having the Word of God, the Word of God which they received with the Holy Spirit's conviction, and the Word of God which they have to continue. So Paul tells them, do not quench the Spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all to that which is good, and reject every kind of evil. It's basically Paul calling the church in Thessalonica to keep depending on the Holy Spirit, who convicted them to turn to Jesus, and by so doing, continuing in the word that is being preached among them. The Holy Spirit who convicted them of the gospel truths and who encourages them to keep listening to God's word, testing what they hear and standing with what is good, what is building the church, what is building them together and keeping aside that which is evil. And that's how we are to test every word by the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to be among us every time as we encourage each other, as we remind each other that he is daily helping us to know the truth, to divide the truth, to walk in the truth, and to keep holding to that which is good and rejecting that which God's word does not acknowledge. How big privilege we have, brothers and sisters, to remind each other, depending on the help of the Holy Spirit, who points us to God's word, which we can keep listening to and holding each other around. He ignites our passion to continue in the gospel till the end. And so says Paul, encourage and hold each other around these truths. Brothers and sisters, a church family committed to their leaders, a church family committed to one another, a church family committed towards God. How amazing. May the Lord encourage us. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we are so excited that you're such a loving God, very concerned about our well-being as members of the same church family. And I pray for these brothers and sisters, dear Lord, that you will be keeping them united in the power of the gospel, convinced that you are able to keep them to the end. And I pray that you will be encouraging them, Lord, to be those who are really committed to what a biblical local church life looks like. Lord, please help them to be reaching out to each other, to be supporting each other, not to give in to the culture that tells them to divide, to be divided, to be less concerned, but to be those who are motivated by the Holy Spirit and your love to support, to encourage, to walk with each other till that day when the Lord Jesus brings them to you, safe and secure and blameless. So, Lord, keep them in your grace and in your mercy, we pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.